You can hear me okay?
Yeah.
Am I too loud?
No.
I'm okay.
Yeah.
No, you talk. You talk.
We're not on the air, are we?
Okay. Not yet.
I just belched.
That's okay. We're not there yet. Okay, we can be there any time, though. And it's funny, Girlfriend X's harp is playing. Mm-hmm. Randomly, it landed on this song. Coincidence?
I don't know. No coincidences, you know that.
Yeah. Well, I'm ready anytime you are. You lead off the show. Let's build an energy.
Okay.
All right, here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
There it is, Saturday night, 6 o'clock, another edition of the Don and Wynn Show. My name is Wynn Free. My co-host is Don Newsom.
It's good to be here.
Pardon me?
It's good to be here.
To be here?
Yes, it's good to be here today.
Good to be here.
Yes.
Well, we're always here.
That's right.
It's always the same here. But it's good to be here. As long as you're here. Are you guys here that are listening? Or are you somewhere else? Where are you? Don, where are you?
That's a good question. Well, hopefully I'm right here. Mm-hmm. Present.
Are we on the air?
Yes, we are.
I'm turning on my computer.
You should. I think we might be a little loud here.
Pardon me?
Okay. I think that's better.
So, you know what I thought would be a good topic? Co-creation.
I love it.
Co-creation. Because I think co-creation is the key that evades many, 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 many people. What is co-creation to you, Don? I'll put you on the hot seat.
Co-creation?
Yeah.
Working in harmony.
Aligning.
Co-creation, I think, is something that comes out of desire and intent.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you can't create without being one with the Creator, because the Creator is one with all. So, really, it's a co-creative ability that we all have.
Mm-hmm. Well, whatever co-creation is, we're going to do it this show, or else. Okay?
All right.
Because I would say what you said was, I mean, in the right ballpark, okay?
Okay.
But it's even more than that. And to me, to my experience, co-creation. What is creation? Creation is when you cause something to occur that's original. It wasn't there before. Right?
I would agree completely.
Now, making dinner could be creation, right?
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Having a conversation. We're doing a show.
But remember, is that making dinner or creating dinner?
We're creating dinner.
Okay.
Right.
And again, remember, it depends. I don't know. Remember in one of your readings you sent me that they were pretty distinct on the difference that, like, the Elohim are the creators, and man is more of the maker or builder.
Right.
So, again, that's got to enter into your equation, I would think, if this is the way you're going with it.
But, you know, man can co-create with the other side.
Yes.
As well as each other. So, it's not impossible for man to, I mean, I'd have to ask the question. Because I would rather not quote that as an absolute truth.
Right.
Because I think man can be a creator also.
I think man is a creator.
I mean, especially the certain people. They talk about people who have mastered the laws of this realm,
mm-hmm.
who say they're certain spiritual teachers.
Right.
That make...
Yeah, they're creators. Well, they tap into that creative energy.
Yes.
And that, of course, is tapping into the other, you know, powers that you really, truly have.
Yeah. I mean...
Most people just don't recognize that and go around being builders instead of being creators,
I guess.
I don't
think it's not even a matter of recognizing it, because it's like recognizing something is not the same as doing it.
Well, that's correct.
And to do it, you have to go into this thing which I call the matrix and say, where is your space in the matrix? See, everyone has got a position as I see it. Now, I don't see this with my physical eyes, but I have watched this, and I've watched people, and I'm fairly certain this is a good picture of how it works, is that there's this energy matrix that goes right back to source, you know, what they call the holographic universe.
Yes.
And each of us is placed in that matrix somewhere. And
well, now there again.
Or we've placed ourselves there.
Right.
According to our track.
According to the plan.
According to our whole history of all our many lifetimes.
Right.
According to the things we've done in our lives and everything.
Right.
And it's not easy to change your position in the matrix.
So why not?
Because that's, first of all, I've watched people, and I don't see it. I see it even when people want to. It's a challenge. Because
why do you think that is?
Because
the underlying, if you were to list one specific reason,
the reason is because you are in the matrix, and so everything looks like from the position you're in. So how do you change the position you're in when you're in it, okay? Do you follow what I'm saying?
I do.
So it's kind of like...
Well, what's the answer?
If you're in a room and the room has no doors that you can see, how do you know there's anything outside of the room?
And what's the answer?
Let's get a good question. And then, I mean, first you have to get a good question. You have to describe the question.
I understand.
Okay?
Yes.
So you're in a room, and the room has no doors, no windows. You spent your whole life in that room, and then somebody else has a bigger room, and they spent their whole life in that bigger room.
Right.
And somebody else has even a bigger room, and somebody else has a room the size of a football field, okay?
Yeah.
But each one has no doors or windows, okay? Mm. Now, maybe it's like the guy with a smaller room... His room is inside the one with the football field.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't know that outside of his room he's in a football field. But the interesting thing is...
Wasn't Gulliver's Travels 2 like that, the very end?
that's got a room the size of a football field can look at the guy that's got the real small room and see his room.
Yeah.
Okay, because he's bigger than it, so he can see it.
He can see
it. The smaller one can't see the bigger one.
Right, I understand that.
So the bigger one is still trapped, but he's got a bigger trap.
That's one way of looking at it. Yeah, that's an interesting way, and I understand it, and I would agree. It's an interesting way of capturing, putting it into words.
It's like the rooms have one-way mirrors.
Yeah.
So that the bigger ones can look through the smaller ones, but the smaller ones can't look through.
Yeah, and you're, of course, meaning that these would be the dimensions.
Yeah, well, I'm not even using the word dimension.
Well, but, of course, it's implying that there's a hierarchical order to the increase in size here, of course.
Yeah.
Right.
So then you get the biggest room, which is, you know, you get these group souls, Mm-hmm. And they can look into all of our rooms.
Right.
But we can't. We can't look back and see them.
Right, right.
Except very, very, you know, how would you say it?
It's difficult.
You have to look for indicators.
Yeah.
If you look for indicators long enough, then you can find an indicator.
Yeah, and...
So, how does a guy in a smaller room recognize a guy in a bigger room? You know, because what happens is, he will
Interesting question. Hold on now, let's ask that again. How does a guy in a smaller room respond to a guy... Is that what you said? In a bigger room.
I said respond or recognize.
Respond or recognize a guy in a bigger room.
Now,
how does
normally,
he do that?
A guy in a smaller room, when he comes across someone in a bigger room,
mm-hmm.
will treat that person as if they are also in a smaller room.
Or be envious.
Or he will think he's crazy, the guy that's in the bigger room. He'll make a judgment.
Right.
This guy's somewhere else.
Right.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
And how does a guy in a smaller room recognize? This is a good question. Now, the answer doesn't immediately come forward to me, so we have to explore it. How does a guy in a smaller room recognize a guy in a bigger room?
You know how? He's got bigger things, buddy. I'm joking.
Well, I'll tell you what I think.
You know, I think, you know, there's got to be a way, doesn't there?
The guy in the bigger room has to find a way of communicating to the guy in the smaller room
right.
that he understands his circumstance.
And that there's more room.
And that once the guy in the smaller room knows the other guy understands his circumstance, which is empathy. That's
yes.
the extension of empathy.
You right? ever, I agree, yes.
That's the way the guy in the smaller room suddenly realizes that somebody has a bigger room and that he doesn't understand it, but he knows that maybe there's something he can learn.
Right.
From the guy in the bigger room.
From the guy in the bigger room, correct.
Yeah. See, this is the tricky thing because...
It's tricky because... Have you ever... you remember seen that skit about who's on first?
Who's on first?
What's on second?
Is that on Saturday Night Live?
You remember way... I don't remember. It was a long time ago. I loved it.
Yeah, no, I didn't
but
see it.
Yeah, that's. I think you're right in that ballpark.
Yeah. Now, in co-creation, in love,
right?
In spiritual love, the walls of the rooms dissipate. They break down.
Mm-hmm.
And in a moment, all the rooms combine into one big room.
See, this is profound, and I truly and accurately think you're portraying the way it is. And I'm sorry to make light of it, because I love to make humor of just about everything, but I feel what you're saying. You're right. I think
yeah.
that's a very good picture.
So now, when the rooms break down, if the two people say, let's make something happen, they're now operating out of the same energetic space.
Mm-hmm.
And so now they are able, if they stay in that space, to co-create.
Mm-hmm.
Because the creation is a melding of both their energies with no walls.
Okay? So what you're saying is, in the extreme, that it's the absolute freedom in its purest form.
Well, I'm trying to describe it.
Well, free...
Reverse engineer it.
Yeah, no, I understand.
I don't know. I never even put this into words.
Right.
So, I'm just grasping for the words, because we're talking about things that people don't usually talk about. And people usually...
You know, I have a question for you, Wim.
What?
I mean, I know you and I are different because I have family around me quite a bit, and you don't.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering if families talk about spirituality more now than ever before.
If what?
If families spend more time talking together, especially about spirituality and everything, more now than they ever did before. I wonder. Wouldn't that be interesting?
I don't know.
that if they did, because I have a hunch people are spending a lot more time together at the dinner table. That's one byproduct, of course, of families that have to work and bring more and more people have to work in order to provide an income for one unit, and that unit expands, you know, so the families are larger, they stay together for longer periods of time, you know, and that's one of the benefits, I think, that's coming out of current society. Families are working together more, they're staying together longer.
One thing about families is I think that families are a circumstance where people get locked into smaller rooms. Maybe it's a larger room for a moment, but they're
interesting.
A little bit of group interaction.
Yeah.
But the family unit ends up being
a smaller
box. Let me just say, can end up being
a smaller box.
A smaller box that's very hard to get out of.
Yeah, you know, I think anything can. Yeah.
Because you see,
but I don't see. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Somewhere
but
along the line,
I think
somebody who's a patriarch in the family has.
I don't think it actually. I see what you're saying. Does it make for it actually anchors more points in your matrix? How's that? Your matrix may not be smaller, but it puts more anchor points of those spinningness or intention into your matrix, which causes you to have more anchor points or more that holds you here.
Yeah,
is that? Would you say that's correct?
I think that's. I think that. You know, you're quoting my conversations with the Elohim when you use that vocabulary.
Correct. Well, I don't know how else to say it.
But what they say is all humans in proximity to each other start to get confused because the interaction...
No kidding.
the interaction of the human matrices with each other, we take on all the... conditions and thoughts
of everybody else,
of everyone else, and it's
blinding, is what it is. It's blinding.
It's one of the things that keeps you in
3D
in your room,
in
your small room.
Yeah,
and everyone that's listening, you and I, each of us have our rooms, and
yeah, but I like your room.
We all know how it feels to feel lonely and separated and isolated and scared in your room with its limitations. And how do you get...
You should have been a writer.
How do you get out of it?
You should have been a writer.
Why is that?
Because you'd have been good at it.
Well, I think I'm a writer.
I'm joking, Lynn. You are good at it. I love the way you talk. I love the way you come across. I really do.
You do?
Yes, I do.
Well, I'm glad you love it.
I do. It's fabulous. I mean, you're bringing some very sophisticated points, and you're making them simple. It's difficult, isn't it?
Well, somebody's got to do it.
Yeah.
And... You see, recognizing me is a way of throwing me off course. You realize that? So I have to, like, discard your recognition now and try to remember what I was talking about. Now, let me point out that was not an exercise in co-creation. Or let's say it was and it wasn't, okay? It was because you're with me. But... the co-creation at a higher level would be that you come in and give an added point that's just in line with what I'm saying, but adds something to it from your experience.
Yes. Yes. Oh, absolutely.
As opposed to just recognizing.
Sure.
It, okay?
Well, that's where you create with wisdom, which settles into you over a long, long, long period of time. and that wisdom is accumulated, and it is always there to draw upon. I understand completely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're trying to run a project, you know, BBS, right?
I'm not trying to run it, no.
Well, you are running it.
No.
I mean, it's running itself.
Yes.
You're at the steering wheel, whether you like
it or not. You know, I'm kind of watching the wind. It's enjoyable because it's really something that's being co-created on some level.
But and also, you know the challenge of co-creating with the people around you.
Well, I enjoy that challenge because that's part of my makeup, and
isn't it a challenge?
It's delicious. How's that?
Is it a challenge?
It's acutely wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes when people are around you,
mm-hmm.
do you experience their room and feel like
to an extreme degree, I might add. Yes, I do.
That how do you get through their room because they're
how home. Do I do it?
Well, let me just say, am I giving a correct observation?
Sure. If I go down into someone else's room,
yeah.
I'm going to absolutely feel that person's energy, yes.
Yeah.
And it's...
people are doing that with you also.
Sure. And it's bingo, right on. And that's the thing, you know, because when you get to the stage of non-judgment, you can only... By the way, this might be something you might want to add, and that is, in order to be able to have the ability to look inside someone's room, then you can no longer be, or must, in fact, I would have to say at that point, you are beyond judgment of anything that goes on within that room. So it's an honor, it's a privilege, and it's one that as you progress, it becomes such compassion and love.
Now, wait a second.
Yeah.
I disagree with what you just said.
Oh.
When you look at somebody else's room,
right?
It doesn't mean you're beyond judgment.
I think you're beyond judgment of anything that goes on in that room.
No, you can look at their room.
Judgment, we might have a semantic issue on the word judgment. So you might want to think about that.
You can look at somebody else's room,
yeah,
and still see it,
right,
and then make it wrong that they're doing that.
Well, but you can know the error. You can see the error. That has nothing to do with it.
Error. I said there's a difference between no. I wouldn't even use the word error.
What would you use?
Everything is as it is.
And that's correct.
So there's, you know, everyone is doing what they're doing and doing the best they can.
Correct. Well,
what they got.
Well,
so people are not making errors from their own place.
Hmm.
And so.
Okay.
You might look at it and say, it's not for the highest good of all concerned.
Mm-hmm.
They're making activities and judgments that are not for the highest good. And
I see what you're saying.
It's their choice to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no rule that says service to self is a bad path. I mean, in everything I've read...
I agree with you.
That's one of the paths.
It was a necessary path that wonderful, wonderful, wonderful entities chose to create this experiment.
Well,
that's the way I interpret it.
One of the interesting things in Carla Ruckert's Ra channeling,
right,
was Ra said that, you know, each, I've said this before, but I'll say it again, each planetary system has its own logos that has made the rules for that system, and that we grow up within the rules of the logos
sure.
of our planet.
We can go into all that, and that's and wonderful,
so,
but that's pretty deep. You know, for most people to start thinking there's a hierarchy, that's pretty, I mean, absolutely, in my opinion, true. In my opinion, I'll always add that.
I hope
people remember that I will, but...
I didn't make my point yet. The point I was going towards was that there were planetary systems where there was only service to others, and there was no polarity, and that the souls going through those systems in their growth patterns took an inordinate amount of time to get through and graduate.
Yes, I believe that. Correct. Yeah, so, that's how I understand it.
So that the the polarity creates the how would you say it? The
catalyst.
The atmosphere for more rapid growth, supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, rapid growth in our realm seems to take millions of years.
Still fast.
I mean, according to all that we've studied of Maldek blowing itself up, Mars blowing itself up, Lemuria all dying, Atlantis all dying,
mm-hmm.
And here we are again at a precipice. And
why is that?
You know what? It's growth. This is the Elohim word. It's gross repeating cycle.
Yes. And why is there such gross repeating cycles?
Because it's all oneness separating.
And what aren't people getting?
And trying to learn a lesson.
Right. But what aren't people getting? What's their what are they missing in all this? What's going to clue them into all this?
What they're not getting is if you do what you've always done, you'll get what you always got.
It's that simple, isn't it? So
yeah.
What else? I mean,
and the key is, what have we always done, and are we still doing it?
Okay, well, recognition, of course, but what's the next step?
Well, the next step is the way things change down here is through positive co-creation.
I like it.
You know, it's like changing the archetypes, changing the collective consciousness.
See, that's, I knew there was a reason why I liked you.
The way you change the collective consciousness is through group thinking that's higher than the collective consciousness. Because then you create thought forms that go into the collective, outside of the collective, and start to reprogram it. And that is our goal. And that's not an easy goal, because...
But it's a fun one when you start working on it, isn't it?
Well, how do you do it?
Well, how do you do it?
I mean, quite frankly, how do you do it? The first thing isn't seeing the vision of it.
Is with a capital I.
Yeah, seeing the vision, then attention.
Intent.
Yep. Finding fellow co-creators.
They come, actually.
One of the Elohim statements was, through love, serve, and care.
Mm-hmm.
Love, serve, and care.
Yes.
Love, serve, and care.
Now, you almost make it sound like it's something that they must do. And that, I wouldn't want to portray that, only because it doesn't really come down to love, serve, and care. Although you might, those are great attributes of love.
Well, if you're actually doing that,
mm-hmm.
that changes things.
Well, right. There's, of course, a metamorphosis that continues along your continuum, but,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
But those are not easy things to do. Because people will take the words and say, okay, I'm going to love, serve, and care. And they think they're doing it, but they're not.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And so, the first thing is to have a vision.
Mm-hmm.
See something. See a potential. See something you can do. Do you know, every time, I'm going to tell you this, Don, every time you change one person, you change the entire universe.
Agreed.
Or every time you're a catalyst for a person to change, which is a better way of putting it.
Mm-hmm.
Not that you change another person.
Everything you do.
Yeah.
Everything you do will change everything that is. And you know.
Yeah. So people sometimes look to do great big things, and they look at little things, and they say that's too small.
Yeah.
And yet
it's unfortunate, you're correct, they do.
Pardon me?
Yes, people do that.
Yeah. I mean, I bitch to you about that.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean...
Yeah. You remember how your mother's always told you it's all in the details? It's all in the little things you do.
My mother
always did, and she always says it's those little things you do. It's all in the intent, the little things that you do, and how true that is.
Yeah. So,
thank you, Mother.
It's like that random acts of kindness, you know.
It's that's part of it.
Let me say, it's the things that you do that nobody knows that you did.
And it doesn't really matter, because
human,
in the end,
it affects
everything.
The human is so hooked into appreciation and recognition that when you do something and you get recognition and appreciation,
mm-hmm.
you automatically lose it.
That's not true.
Okay.
It's more difficult. It's another challenge. When you have that magnetic ability, when you come in here and you draw that to you, I think there's a decision to use it wisely and to follow your higher guidance. But some people come in here with an agenda and ultimately they use that their ultimate power for destructive purposes.
You're turning it into good and bad guys.
Well, it is and it isn't. Yeah. It's got to be healed. See, that good and bad guy attitude has to go away.
Yeah.
It needs to melt away. It's no longer applicable.
Yeah.
There's no longer us and them, you or me. They're them, and you know, we can. There's no justification, because it's all ending up being a judgment of the ego. And so you put the pieces together, right, Wynn?
Mm-hmm.
And you start to have a little joy in your life.
Hey, I want to switch the subject for a moment.
Yeah.
Because I've been meaning to share this. I think this is kind of really interesting.
Okay.
You know who Stephen Greer is, right?
I do, and I think fondly of him, yes.
Well, I don't know whether I think fondly of him or not.
Well, I think any person that has a message geared for humanity and believes in that message,
yeah,
I think that's important.
But here's what I wanted to share.
Yes.
Stephen Greer made a statement recently that, you know what SETI is?
I do know of SETI organization and what they're all about, yes.
You know who it's funded by? Paul Allen, the co-founder of Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that?
Well, I was going to say I was going to add a little more to it, but I'm not going to.
Okay.
Yes, go ahead.
Well, listen to this. I'm going to read this, because I get all kinds of emails. According to Dr. Stephen Greer,
mm-hmm.
SETI has received multiple extraterrestrial signals. The news, he says, is confirmed by senior employees within the SETI program.
Yeah.
This is what he said at a conference.
Mm-hmm.
We have confirmation, and I'm not going to give the name yet because we are trying to coax this guy out of the closet,
mm-hmm.
but one of the senior people in the SETI project, which is the Carl Sagan Search for Extraterrestrial Project, has confirmed to the Disclosure Project that they have received multiple extraterrestrial signals.
Mm-hmm.
But now they are getting external human, probably NRO or NSA jamming off of those signals, and they're getting frustrated.
Right.
The question continues.
I have to laugh, sorry.
Is why hasn't the SETI project, funded by Paul Allen, the co-founder of Microsoft, come forward with this information?
Why do you think?
I'm a little uncomfortable even mentioning this, except for the fact that the public needs to know that this effort, which has received a great deal of mainstream media attention, has actually confirmed to us from two inside sources
mm-hmm.
that they have received extraterrestrial signals and have confirmed them as being extraterrestrial, and that they have become increasing in frequency and number.
Yeah, that's old news.
Did you know all this?
It's all old news to me.
Uh-huh.
Folks, if you think we're alone,
well, first we're not,
you know, right? I'm no, but if you're still at that stage and you're listening to our program, God, you really must be scratching your head. Anyways, go ahead, Wynn.
Well, you know, that's it.
Right.
Like this major organization, major funded.
You might want to speak up. Your voice is low.
Getting signals from ETs. So that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, you still might want to speak up a bit, though, I think.
Huh?
Hold on. Let me try something. I'm going to try to jack your voice up. There, try. Go ahead, speak. Do the alphabet.
So that's all.
Oh, there we go. Perfect. Okay. You're now audible.
Oh, I was not audible?
Well, before you were edible, but now you're audible.
Okay. Now, is it, we can't get phone calls, can we?
Can we?
Can we? I don't know.
Sure, we can take phone calls, but we just can't answer them.
I see.
Yeah, it's one of them. I had to simplify the system. The energies were just blowing. It was just too chaotic, folks.
Uh-huh.
I had to simplify it and drop several of our systems. But I added several systems. So, in the end, the balance worked.
Mm-hmm. Do you know it's possible?
Yes, I know it's possible, babe.
To get a signal from somebody, another human, and to stay tuned into them?
Yes, I believe it is. I was doing that with my mother today, I wonder. In fact, Mother, if you're out there, I know you can't phone in, but I do know you're listening. And know that if you felt something odd today, something really wonderful, if there was a point today that you experienced something extremely wonderful, just out of the blue, that was me. I just want to say that.
You've been sending love to
her. I think she'll know what I mean. You know, there is nothing that can describe the amount of love. Yeah. But not in words.
Now, you and Doug have the same mother, don't you?
There are, you know, there are mothers, and there are mothers and their mothers, you know, and every mother of every child is as beautiful as the next. Some just have followed their path, and they are very bright, and I love my mother for that. They're like creator stars in a dark world. Anyways.
So, getting back to co-creation.
All right, talk to me.
What is the last time that you could say you had a really high experience of co-creation?
Ouch. You really going to ask me that?
Yeah.
Well, the last time you talked to me, you know, I would have to say that was a bit overwhelming.
When was that? A couple of days ago? Last night?
Last night. That was, folks, I felt like I was going to be girlfriend Z. And I was going to have none of it. Sorry, I just hit that.
Oh, you started the channel, right?
Well, you know, a lot of people are going through changes. Anyway.
It's interesting. There was something up on the internet about that. Somebody had looked at my website, Conversations with My Girlfriend.
Yeah.
And it was, God, I can't remember the name of the website. It's a very busy website.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy had gone into both the David Wilcox story and Conversations with My Girlfriend.
Sure, which I've read all of it thoroughly.
Yeah. Huh?
I've read all of it thoroughly, yeah.
And
it's a good idea that everyone does.
He was making comments about it. He was totally taking it apart.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't sure what it all meant. And it's on my agenda to, like, check into that group.
You have an agenda.
And make myself available. Because, you know, the truth of the matter is that website never really, I never kept it up.
Mm-hmm.
Just sitting there like an archive.
Right.
And I put it up at the time I was having those experiences, and I was writing The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't want to be identified with the experiences.
Mm-hmm.
I said, this is too wild as the author of the book. So
yeah.
I put the website up, and I didn't put my name on it. Mm-hmm. I just wanted a record, and occasionally I would talk one-on-one with somebody, and I wanted to refer to something, and I would refer to them to that website. And so, you know, I didn't keep it posted with current channelings. And, of course, you've read the information and questions and answers with my with Elohim.
Top to bottom, yes.
Which is the current kind of
info
expansion of all those conversations.
Yeah.
That started in 2008.
I wish you should put that up. Can people download that or access it? I mean, that Q&A? Whoa.
Yeah.
That's mind-blowing stuff.
Well, if we ever do a $2 download, I would do it.
Almost ready.
On that.
Just about,
you know,
ready, folks.
You know what? It's kind of like...
It's powerful.
That I send it to anyone that asks.
Yeah.
Anyone that sends me an email.
It's worth it.
I'll
it's worth it. It's engrossing because it actually ties in everything that you've ever done into a very nice synopsis. It was very well done. It's probably your best yet.
You've become still an ongoing process.
I know, but you've become
really
very skilled at it. I love this. If you guys, folks, email them on this, I'm coming from a good place, and I think it's just adamant, paramount that you get it.
It's an ongoing question and answer session with, you see, one doesn't know what's true and what's not true.
Can you excuse me for a second? Maybe I can quiet this down. I'll be right back. Just keep going.
One doesn't know what's true and what's not true. I can't sit here and tell you that's what's true and say, here's what's true. I can, those of you who've been tracking me, I've had these ongoing conversations with voices coming out of two girlfriends that have identified themselves as the Elohim. And both historically and through the questions, the Elohim is another name for the group soul, which is the creator God for this universe. Now, am I talking to the creator God of this universe? I don't know. All I got is a voice that says they're that. So I asked a bunch of questions, an ongoing set of questions, to say, well, if they are that, these are the questions they should be able to answer. And that there's an amazing congruent set of answers as to how the universe was created, how they work with us, how they interface with us, and many really deep human experiences that I've never heard anyone document before of the way other dimensions interface with this dimension. And if you read it, and if you're open, their energy comes through it. You can make a connection with them. You'll feel them in your space. So that's probably the greatest advantage of reading that, because it resonates. Not because you should believe it blindly that this is the creator God of this universe, but read the wisdom and let it sink in of its own accord. Are you there, Don? Yo, Don. I guess Don's not there. So, many, many interesting things have come through those questions. Like, for example, how prayer works, how they connect with us on our prayers, and how they, you know, in talking about the co-creation and little boxes and bigger rooms, by that model.
I have a question for you.
One would have to look at the Elohim and say, that is the biggest room. That is the biggest room.
Is it?
No, but we can just...
Right.
Wait a second.
We're
now.
Making
you're not
an assumption.
There, I'm on a track, so I'll let you ask the question in a second. So, if that room is the biggest room possible, looking in on our small rooms, what are they telling us from their huge perspective? And that is why these questions and answers are so valuable, because it all is extremely congruent from the perspective of a consciousness in a huge room looking in on our small rooms and giving us the tools on how to expand those rooms.
I agree. Well, one thing's for sure. When I read it, I read it in about two sittings, folks, because I was that engrossed. And I reread it, and when it's just engrossing, I think it's true. Unfortunately, I mean, not unfortunately, it rings true.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting when you read material like this.
Now, you know, in terms of expanding rooms, when we do these conference calls,
right?
And no one ever asks to come into them, hardly. So
how many do you have? I mean, can I ask?
Oh, there's maybe 10 to 20 people that show up. Regularly.
That's good. What's
that's
wrong good. With that?
They're delighted. It's a core group.
It's
know?
That's phenomenal, and that's
but
what
you know,
it's all about.
The premise is they are looking in on it. They say they are, and I believe they are, and I feel the energy.
I've felt it around you consistently, folks. Yeah. I just wanted to say that I really believe Wynn. I mean, I feel the energy around him. I've felt it for a while, and I've experienced a pretty unusual evening. Wynn's, you know, I don't know what's going on. I mean, I don't have all the answers. I don't think anybody does, but it's wonderful what's going on.
So in any case, anyone that wants to experience what it's like to have the intelligence in the biggest room looking in on your little room, check into
sorry.
My conference call.
That does sound corny, though.
Huh?
That does sound corny, though.
Sounds corny?
Well, you know.
Well, I'm trying to make it simple.
I know, and it didn't. It was quite an analogy. I loved it.
Yeah.
I did.
You know, you,
I was
you,
trying to visualize little people in little rooms with big people in big rooms, and the big
yeah.
rooms had little
I mean,
rooms in them with little people.
I mean, there was a woman on the conference call this week who's been checking in for about 6 or 7 weeks.
Right, right.
And occasionally somebody has this, you know, there's only a handful of people. So
can we give away a free T-shirt?
Huh?
Or let's give away a free BBS radio T-shirt.
Yeah, but you
it's gonna
answer the phone. What if nobody?
I know, but it's going to be extra large. They're going to email Winfrey. Win at
yeah.
bloginservice.com.
All right. First person that emails me gets a free.
Yeah. Here's the. In fact, we'll give away two of them. And they're both extra large or large. I forget. Whatever.
Okay.
And that's the only size you get. Unfortunately, it's one of the two. I forget which one. I think large.
Okay.
Here's the first question.
You have a question?
I do, and it had a lot to do with what you were saying.
Yeah,
but it had something to do with what you were saying in the Q&A.
Let me say one thing, Don.
In fact,
anyone that wants to come into the conference call, send me an email, and I'll email you the number. Okay, it's Monday and Tuesday at 6 p.m. Also, I have a new website up, winfree.com, where I put a lot of finally organizing all my different hats and putting them in one website. And I invite you to check it out. Tell me if you like it. It's still we're still working on it. But it's got some of my writings. It's got excerpts from my book. It's got some of my poems. You can listen to my music. It's all there. And
all right. Well, I think...
Now, what was your question?
Well, one for you would be if someone could email you the best way for you to get that Q&A information to as wide an audience as possible.
I told you, if somebody wants it, all they got to do is email me and I'll send it.
Right. And someone gives a good way to do that, to gain exposure for that material,
and you know,
they get a T-shirt. And as long as it's good, I don't care.
Quite frankly, I want people to duplicate it and send. I'd like it to come out as a book, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But right at the moment, I'm like giving reprint rights to anyone who has it to send to anyone else.
Yeah.
And get it spread around.
Get it
really
around.
Does have information.
It does.
To change the planet.
I agree.
And so.
And the other T-shirt will be given to anybody who can remember Baby Man.
Who?
And what show he was on.
Who?
Baby Man.
Baby Man?
Baby Man. You must remember, if any of our listening audience here remembers Baby Man.
Why don't we give a t-shirt to anyone that can send in your mother's...
Then, and it's the first email I get, and I will find out through the time, and I will save them. And you're just going to have to trust me on this, but the first one that can tell me who Baby Man was,
Don,
they will get a t-shirt, and I will...
Can we give another t-shirt out?
Sure.
Let's give a t-shirt to the first person that sends in your mother's name.
Done. And it can't be my mother.
It can't be your mother. She's
nor my aunt or any family member. Because
right.
I know you're all listening. You can have t-shirts if you want them, though, but you're going to have to pay.
We're going to find out if anyone's listening to us over time.
Yeah.
Okay?
All right.
And even if you spell it wrong, it's okay. We'll know that you know Don's mother's name.
That's right.
Okay? And I think it's time to call on the lights.
Yeah, especially because, Mother... I love you. If people had actually been listening, they know your name. Maybe they're going to send you love, too, because you deserve it. So do you, Dad. I can't wait to see you in August, and I miss you all.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, when we talk about co-creation,
mm-hmm.
this calling into the light is really a co-creation, you know.
I agree.
It's not, I'm, like, leading it, but... Each of you that's listening can join in energetically,
mm-hmm.
and we create a pool of energy. And you can all leave your rooms right now and move into a bigger matrix. And you can do it. Just go with flow. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to make a choice except to be neutral and let it happen. And it'll happen. And you may be surprised at what you experience. If you do that. Now, if you're still in your mind, it won't happen. Because you'll be saying, what's going on? What's going on? I don't understand this. But if you just be neutral, get out of your mind, let your being come in, your being will recognize it. Okay? So, Father, Mother, God, I ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. And that any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and dispersed for the highest good of all concerned. Now I'd like each of you to imagine that you are just a body, of course you're a body, that's also an antenna. And that the antenna is at the top of your head. And that antenna is picking up signals from the universe. And the signals come in as energy. And feel yourself in the flow of this energy that has always been there and that you've excluded yourself from most of the time. And right now, you are going to allow that energy to flow through you. You're going to not be in your mind thinking about it. You're going to be in the flow of energy. And you'll feel it. You'll feel the energy move through your body. And you'll feel it move through your feet. And you'll feel it connect with Mother Earth. And so you're an antenna and a radiator. You're picking up the energy from the top of your head. And you're radiating it into the earth. And all of us who are listening tonight can join with each other on that energy. And you can feel that joining taking place. You can feel that connection. And as we connect and think and project towards those who are listening, we make the energy stronger. And then we can call that energy the light. We can call it cosmos. We can call it group soul energy that's coming into your space. We can call it the Christ consciousness. We can call it God. It doesn't matter what you call it. It matters that you can open yourself up to the flow of it. And as you do that, you are now part of a huge intention. We are all a huge intention riding that energy. And what we
think can ask for in this moment, we can have greater impact in causing that to happen than we normally do when we're just by ourselves. So I'd like you all, those of you who are feeling this, to think of people you care and love that need support. And think of their names and send this energy to them for support, for the highest good of all concerned. And we can send this energy. We had a special request from the Elohim to send this energy to the East Coast, to the cities on the East Coast. For whatever reason, there was something that was may have been going to happen. So let's send this light energy to the East Coast cities. And let's send it to the earthquake grids for healing. And let's send it to the Christ consciousness grid around the planet. And for repairing, let's send it to the solar system. Let's send it to the Earth itself and see ourselves in this great cosmic bath, and that we are in the flow of it. It's flowing around us and through us. And it's something that you can learn to do more and more just by intending it to be so. Not just on the Donna Wynn Show, but in your daily life. You might try recreating this energy flow. Remember how it feels to feel it right now. And make it, take a snapshot. So if for nothing else, think back on this moment and say, let me see how it felt. And the energy will come back to you. And you'll experience it in your daily life. And it will change the people around you. It will change your own pattern. And you'll be part of the ground crew in this fourth dimensional transition that's occurring on planet Earth. And on that note,
Wynn,
another
thank you.
Don and Wynn Show. Don, thanks for...
Thank you. Wow, that was powerful. Powerful. I love you, man. I do.
Okay.
You're one of my stars, because you have a lot of great energy to you, and you're changing the world, and I hope everyone's working in concert to change everything to what they envision as beauty and love.
Well, we're all changing the world.
We are.
Each of us, and each of us can do more. Each of us can do more than we're doing. And we don't do it by trying. We do it by tapping into that flow.
Yes. It becomes easy when you tap in, folks.
Yeah.
Peace to you all. I'll get, well, of course, we got Dr. Bell's show coming up. Wynn?
You guys that enjoyed us, thank you. Come back next week. And
it's always a pleasure to be on this show with you, Wynn, and for our fans, and for those who tune in. And thank you to my family for tuning in. And Wynn, thank you. It was wonderful.
Thank you. And I can't say your mother's name, but we wish her a good night. Okay?
I will do that.
All right.
Good night.
Bye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.